Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binchtown TV. This is Brian here with Paul and producer Dave. And today we have episode 3 of season 2 of the Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian. This episode is going to be chapter 11, The Heiress. And this was a really, 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 really good episode. I think we all liked it. We're on the same page with this. We get a couple new faces, the resolution of the frog lady plot. This was a good episode, though.
Yeah, moved it forward a lot. When the episode time was released, we were pissed because we were like, why is it? It was the meme. It was like, why are we going down? We shouldn't be going up. Revenge of the Sith. Elevator scene. It ended up being like the best episode. I mean, maybe in the series.
I was going to say, my opinion, this might have been my favorite series, like episode of the series as a whole, to be honest.
It was a lot, and looking back, like, this is probably the episode with the biggest like aha reveals, like, yes, finally, you know, there's some payoff for a couple of these names that we've been mentioning on the
podcast. I'll say pound already. For pound, it was my favorite episode, just because they crammed a lot of information in 30 minutes, whereas my other contested favorite episode would have probably been the season finale, but that was a little longer. So I think pound for pound for me, this was a better episode.
Which is a weird statement because it did pack a lot of information in this episode, but it also packed a lot of action.
Yeah.
And it was the shortest episode. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was
watching it. It felt like a full like 45-minute episode.
100%. Honestly, but you know what I mean? Flew by though, because everything was just so good. So I'm excited to get into this conversation.
The Allen Iverson of Mandalorian episodes, the pound for pound best.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
We ready to get it going?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we enter with Mando, Frog Lady, and Baby Yoda. They're all just asleep in the cockpit. Remember last time we saw them? They were flying from the ice planet to Trask, and they are kind of entering the atmosphere into this moon Trask, and they're all asleep, and they are awoken by an alarm going off, right? Mm-hmm. And the Razor Crest is in rough shape. Mando says, you know, the landing array is jammed, and you know, we're about to crash land into the atmosphere onto this planet.
It's gonna get bumpy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Eventually he's getting radios in saying you're going to, like, you know, you're going too fast, you're going need to slow
it's a
down
slow zone. Yeah
I mean, it's the flight control, like, yeah, calling them. Mm-hmm. Like,
and he actually says before they drop, he said we should have just enough fuel to slow us down when we get down there.
Yeah,
if we don't burn to a crisp first.
They didn't burn to a crisp, however, they didn't have enough fuel, because as he's just about to land, the engine gives and the whole ship just crashes into the water.
It was some pretty slick flying, honestly, up until the last second. It was one of those yes, no.
Because the guy watching him, the Mon Calamari. Yeah, yeah. Him watching, he was like kind of impressed at first, and then the ship falls in the water and he's like, ah.
I thought he was just like, look at this asshole. Oh my
God. It probably was a look of that. Yeah,
yeah, it totally was. And I just got complete Pirates of the Caribbean Johnny Depp vibe.
100%.
When he just like his ship is just underneath the water as he gets there, and he's just shaking his head. And I thought, I mean, he didn't land it, but nothing bad happened. And the way that he made the frog lady like hold the lever, and the way she was reaching back for her eggs, I was like, dude, something bad is going to happen. They're going to crash after
they made
it
out. No, he finessed it pretty well.
Yeah, they were just adding stress. Mm-hmm.
I also thought his landing program was really cool. How he had to like line up that little green circle in
hexagon.
The three.
It's all
hexagon. Hexagon, yes. We got the opening titles. Dun, dun.
Yeah. And then we saw the RF, and we were like, all right, this is going to be pretty sweet. And then they get the ship out of the water pretty. It's damaged already, but
it's an AT-AT actually that pulls it out.
Is it exact? It looked like a modified one.
It was a modified AT-AT, but they have more uses than just, you know, blowing up planets.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. They probably recommissioned them from the war. They're obviously not being used as weapons anymore.
That was one of the Easter eggs.
I thought that was a really cool looking thing.
Yeah. And they turned it into a crane, but the ship gets pulled out of the water, and is it just right to the frog lady? Like, she's croaking away.
So Mando
approaches
the Mon Calamari man that was watching him land and asks if he's able to fix the Razor Crest. And the guy says, you know, I can't fix it, but I can make it fly again. Mando gives him what we find out to be 1,000 credits, which is a decent amount. And then he proceeds to reunite Frog Lady with Frog Man.
Mando's doing a lot with his currency. He flexes it a lot this episode. Yeah. He doesn't even give a fuck.
The dock worker goes, I'll fuel her up. I know if she holds fuel.
Yeah, like, I don't even know fuel anymore. That thing is destroyed.
No, it does look beat to shit now. And it was just underwater too. So it's in rough shape.
As soon as this frog lady is kind of crying out, I was like, all right, here it is. It's going to be a slow motion run together with their arms out, like love scene. And it was. But
I felt I had some of the best feels during this scene. You know, just seeing them reunite was it was a mission accomplished, man, for Mando. And Mando's just sitting there. You know, he's smiling under the mask. He has to be. So it was a very heartwarming scene right here. That
we get a lot of both speaking frog subtitles. but we have, like, I thought it was funny. Baby Yoda was like whining when Mando said they had to go away because he is going to miss the eggs.
Yeah, misses the eggs.
So the frog man seemingly goes over, like shakes his hand, says thank you in frog speak. And Mando is just like, listen, I was told you could leave me to others of my kind. Let's get to hard brass here.
Yep, straight to business.
And the frog man points to the inn, just down the road or whatever.
They start walking and some lady is staring at him as they go into the inn. Fun fact though, that's Sasha Banks. It's actually another WWE women's wrestler. So we had whoever that
Cara Dune.
Yeah, Cara Dune, actress. Whoever that actress was, and now we have Sasha Banks. So
pretty cool. Sweet.
Yeah,
makes sense. I mean, they do a lot of combat scenes, so it makes sense. They would outsource to the WWE. She's in like a cool looking black robe, but
Mando turns his head to look back, and boom, boom, she's gone.
She's gone.
And then they go into the bar, and it's like these tubes above every table. That look
some
like
slop.
Oh my god, it's nasty. Chowder.
Yeah, they're serving chowder. They're serving chowder. Tubes.
It's like a mix between nasty chowder and the stuff they eat in the Matrix.
Even Baby Yoda is hesitant to eat it. Like if Baby Yoda is hesitant to eat it, you know it's probably not the best.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's some sketchy stuff.
Yeah, I liked how they Mando sits down and he goes, yeah, nothing for me, but chowder for the kid.
Yeah, just, I think he says for my friend,
which
is funny. Yeah.
And then the bartender starts yelling at him. He's like, well, you can't just sit in here. You have to buy something.
Yeah. It's a pretty busy place. You have to eat something. Otherwise, it's a wasted seat, essentially.
And Mando immediately says, oh, I can pay for something else. How about some information? Slides him some of the Mon Calamari money and says, have you seen others that look like me? The Mon Calamari waiter replies with, others with Beskar have been through here. I know someone who might be able to take you to them. And then he walks away and starts talking to a Corin man.
I was cracking up right here when Baby Yoda's just kind of like slapping the chowder. Yeah. With the, I was actually cracking up. He's just playing with the food. You know something's swimming in there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Corin is just another race of aliens. It's kind of another squid-like.
They're kind of important.
He kind of looks like Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
I actually went on Wikipedia for this one.
Hell yeah.
And it turns out that the Corin and the Mon Calamari share a home planet, not this one. I was reading it and it didn't have a picture. And I was like, all right, let's see if the description actually fits what they were. And it was like, they're humanoids with squid-like heads that vaguely resemble Cthulhu. And I was like, yep, okay.
Yep.
We're talking about the right thing now.
So while they're having their conversation, we do get this little squid attack from out of the soup of Baby Yoda. It like attaches itself to his face, and then Mando just whips out a knife and says, don't play with your food.
It was so funny. Scene. Funny interaction.
Yeah. He stabs the squid or something real quick.
Then this Corin, he's a ship owner. He's like a ship captain, fisherman sort of dude. But this Corin man agrees to take Mando to others of his kind and says they're only a few hours sail away. So that takes us to this Corin guy's fishing vessel.
Yeah. Well, I don't trust this dude.
No, this guy sucks.
I mean, it was weird because when the Mon Calamari, when the bartender walked up to him in the first place, if you had the subtitles on, it said like, there's a Mandalorian. He's looking for others of his kind. He was asking about passage. He's wearing Beskar. And as soon as he said he's wearing Beskar, the dude stood up and walked over. So I was like, all right.
He's not trustworthy.
Yeah.
I didn't even catch that.
Especially because like the way he talked, he was like, and like chuckled like, oh, it'll cost you.
Yeah. He was being an asshole. I honestly didn't expect it, but it was a good scene.
So that takes us aboard the fishing vessel. And this this Karin man is just absolutely gassing up the Mamacore eating. He's just like, dude, have you ever seen this? It's the coolest thing in the world. Make sure you get as close as physically possible. Like, bring the kid over. Yeah. It's awesome. And I'm like, all right, dude, relax. Make it even more obvious.
But however, though, this is actually a new species introduced to the Star Wars lore, I guess. So no, really? It's never been talked about before. So I guess he had a right to, you know, flex it off a little bit if it's never been introduced before.
I did. I looked it up on again because I didn't know if that like was moving the ship or what was happening or if it was there. It turned out it was just, you know, he had it in captivity, but
just a pet.
That was all they said on the page. Was every it was three sentences just from this episode. Yep. That's what it was.
It's first time we ever see it. Yeah. So he has every right to flex it off, but yeah, draws Baby Yoda and Mando close to the Mamacore, just pushes Baby Yoda right into the pit.
Yeah, he like whacks it with his fishing spear or whatever. He's like, we missed feeding her this morning, so it's extra hungry. Baby Yoda gets completely consumed by this thing's mouth, which
luckily the crate closes, so Baby Yoda himself is safe for the time being, but yeah, he's trapped in there.
The cradle is so cool.
It's so perfect.
Baby Yoda's little pod thing. It is so perfect.
The guy with the corn played it off kind of nice. He was like, yeah, we usually feed him in the morning, but we missed it because we were going out to port. Like, he just slaps it. And
but Mando,
the first thing I thought was, all right, he better have a slow death.
Yeah, he deserves it. Yeah, for harming our best friend, Baby Yoda.
I feel like nobody who harms Baby Yoda is ever going to live very long. No. Like, that's just...
We should get a stat check on that, but it's definitely 100% of the time if you fuck with Baby Yoda, you're dead.
I mean, the finale of season one, the stormtrooper that had him in a bag and it was making noise, he just slapped it. He died.
Yeah, both of them died. Yeah. What's the droid's name? IT-12?
IT-11.
IT-11, yeah.
Or is it IKI or IK or something?
We're definitely fucking that up. But anyway, Mando jumps into the pit as well to save Baby Yoda. They close the hatch to the pit, essentially. So now Mando is 100% trapped in there with the Mamacore.
IG-11.
IG-11, there we go.
So, but Mando realizes that they like kind of close the grate on him. So he has to go up for air, but he's completely screwed because he has to stay up for air. And while he's staying up, they're like stabbing at him with their spears.
They want to drown him. That's the goal.
Yeah. Well, they want to take his best car.
And yeah, obviously. Take his best car. That's
so they just need him to die so that they can go and clear it out. So all hope seems lost until the other Mandalorians appear. And the Mandalorians are so badass with their jetpacks.
I'm glad we got a lot of action with the Mandalorians this episode because it really just they like strut around as if nothing's wrong and they just get shit done. Yep. So this was a very efficient scene, if you say so. I just absolutely loved it.
We were definitely screaming. Yeah. Me and Emily were like, no way. Like, let's go. I mean, he's been searching. He finally found him. And I was like, all right, they're not fakes like Cobb Vanth.
Right.
They can really move.
They can actually move. They know really what they're moving.
So they end up getting Mando out of there and they make a really slow scene where she goes, grab my hand. And then he grabs it. And then it like zooms in on them clasping hands for some reason.
It's emphasizing, you know, Mando's with his people.
Yeah.
It's unity.
Mandalorians in numbers again.
Yeah. And then he says the creature has it. Koska Reeves, who we find it out to be, dives in immediately. Like, I'm on it.
Yeah.
Like, what a badass. Talk about strutting around.
Takes her like 3 seconds. You see some explosions coming from the bubbling from the water and boom, she's got Baby Yoda safe and sound. So they absolutely just ran train all over that pirate ship. I don't even know if you want to call it a pirate ship, whatever.
It's a fishing vessel. I feel like they were all fishermen that just kind of run this sketchy operation and steal people's
shit.
But anyway, Mando starts to thank them. He's just like, I've been looking all over for more people of my kind. And immediately all three of the Mandalorians take off their helmets. And Mando, his first question is, where did you get this armor if you guys aren't Mandalorians?
And that's what, like, I was thinking the same thing, too, because it's the same thing Cobb Vanth did. Like, they introduce with all the armor on, then take the helmet off. So, you know, they're not the Mandalorian kind that Mando is.
Yeah. So
she says to that question, I've had this armor in my family for 2 generations, where I was like, oh, wait, okay, so she's legit. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. So we get a little breakdown here.
The third Mandalorian, Koska Reeves, says, I think he's one of them. And then we have Bo-Katan say, Dank Ferrick.
Second time this episode.
And she says, you know, my name's Bo-Katan of Clan Kryze. I was born in Mandalore and fought in the Purge. I am the last of my line, and you are a child of the Watch. Children of the Watch are a cult of religious zealots that broke away from the Mandalorian society. Their goal was to reestablish, or rather is to reestablish, the ancient way.
So we know there's a kind of clash between two types of Mandalores, I guess. There's one that's a religious side of it.
I think they're just a faction that wanted to preserve the old way, which seems like a lot more intense and traditional. Like,
and I was gonna say, so off of that, it's traditional, whereas I think what Bo-Katan represents is more of like a governed society of Mandalore, where I think I was looking into this, and it was basically saying that Bo-Katan had run Mandalore essentially as a government, and the Watch was basically also known as, I think, the Death Watch.
Okay, Death Watch, yeah.
And they rebelled against the government, who is Bo-Katan's family or something like that. Regardless, there's a clash between these two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is wild. I was mad.
It brings more lore.
Because we know about the Purge, and it was crazy because the way she talked about it seemed like the Watch were a smaller minority of Mandalorian.
This was actually explored in the Clone Wars. Now that I'm remembering, they were referred to as the Death Watch, and it was exactly that. They were just a smaller minority faction. I forget exactly what it was, but I think they were a lot more hostile and violent towards just everything in general. They weren't a good faction of people, but they kind of just ruled over this, I think it was a moon around Mandalore, and just kind of split away, like Bo-Katan says, from the main Mandalorian society.
Cool. Which is insane, because they were a small fraction, but now, after the Purge, they are a huge portion of the remaining
Mandalorians. They're probably a majority now.
Most likely, yes.
Yeah, they're probably a majority.
Yeah, they probably had an easier time escaping the Purge because they weren't with the main Mandalorians
and on Mandalore. When Bo-Katan explained, she was like, I come from Clan Kryze. I fought in the Purge.
I was born on Mandalore. Like, I can't get more Mandalorian. Like, she's more Mandalorian than our buddy Mando is.
Yeah,
you know?
Seriously.
Like, so,
and when she says that their goal is to establish the ancient way, Mandalorian says, there's only one way, the way of the Mandalore. And flies off.
And he jetpacks right out of there. Yeah.
Like a badass. It's a Goosebumps walk away from New Girl. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get a time to respond. And then he gets to the docks at night, which is never a good idea to walk the docks at night. And we get another Quarren come out. He says, hey, you killed my brother. And Mando's like, all right, like, let's not do this. And then all of a sudden, there's about
15 Quarren there just ready to jump Mando.
Yeah, they're just jumping on, you killed my brother, now I'm going to kill your pet. They start moving in, and then the Mandalorians obviously fly in, and four Mandalorians can take on like 10 fishermen, no problem.
Bo-Katan, so he didn't kill your brother. I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They literally, it takes 3 seconds for them to just wipe out all those cards.
The Mandalorians are badass.
It was so cool.
They wipe them all out, and Bo-Katan says, can we at least buy you a drink? So they all go to the bar, and Bo-Katan just kind of starts explaining what they're doing on Trask right now. So she says, Trask is a black market port. They're staging weapons that have been bought and sold with the plunders of our planet, meaning Mandalore. We're seizing these weapons and using them to retake our home world. Once we've done that, we'll seat a new Mandalore on the throne. And Mando responds with, that planet is cursed. Anyone who goes there dies. Once the Empire realized they couldn't control it, they made sure nobody could. And Bo-Katan says, you know, don't believe everything you hear. Our enemies want us separated, but the Mandalorians are stronger together and united.
That was what the handshake close-up was for.
Oh, yeah. And Mando just kind of says that, hey, that's all well and good, but I'm on a different mission. I've been quested to reunite Baby Yoda with the Jedi. And Bo-Katan finally gets the point and says, I can lead you to the Jedi, but we need your help on a mission.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to emphasize too, Bo-Katan does mention too in that little rant, saying they want her, one of her other goals is to put someone on the throne. I think in this scene, she doesn't specifically say she wants herself on the throne, but she does want a Mandalore on the throne.
I mean, the title alone, the heiress.
The heiress, yeah.
She
explicitly says later in the episode, she does say she wants to be on the throne, but here, mm-hmm. she that's one of her goals.
And I liked how she asked, what do you know of the Jedi? He was like, nothing. Yeah, I literally, whatever you told me, I was going to believe. You could have lied to me. It doesn't matter. I would have believed it. She says, we need your help for a job. Right. And then they go over to the ship. They're sitting on it like the hood of a car in an 80s movie. And she says, hey, you see that Imperial Gazanti freighter? We're going to take it. Well, she doesn't even say we're going to take it. She goes, you know, we're going to
need some of the weapons off of it, whatever.
They're moving weapons.
If you help us take some of the weapons, we'll tell you where the Jedi are. And Mando isn't happy about the situation, but agrees to help. Mm-hmm. So
they say that according to the port's manifest, is going to depart at first light. And she kind of says that per the area's code, like they have to go at cruising speed and altitude for, I think it's while they're in like the harbor zone or something like that.
Yeah, it's just
so they're going to be flying low and slow for a while before they can enter, you know, climb into the atmosphere and enter hyperspace. So
no,
she says,
no wake zone, like when you're going through jet skis and
yeah, exactly. And exactly. That's what I was thinking. Mando drops off Baby Yoda with the fish people, just says, hey,
fish people
and frog people. I'm sorry. People. He drops him off with the frog people, just says, hey, can you watch this kid? I got to go do a mission. And we get to the mission right away.
That is such a funny concept. He's just like a human guy bringing this Baby Yoda to two frog people and just being like, you guys can babysit, right?
Baby Yoda was like, happy to be reunited with the eggs and everything. He was so funny. Yep.
Yeah, and he's looking at the, what do you call it, container where the eggs are floating on. I think one hatches and it starts swimming around in there.
Yeah,
and he's probably thinking, damn, that looks yummy.
At the time, he was probably thinking, yeah, this looks yummy now that it's hatched. But cue the epic rock music.
Yeah.
The heist begins, baby. That music was, it was so dope, the soundtrack right there. I liked it a lot.
So immediately, the Gazanti class cruiser departs, flying at low altitude and speed, and the Mandalorians jetpack onto it. The reason they couldn't just stow away, by the way, is that it scans for life forms before it takes off. So they're going to let it scan for life forms, let it take off, and then jetpack onto the ship, which is exactly what they do. They jetpack onto the side, and they're so coordinated and just, they take out like four people like it's nothing.
Well, I was going to say they blew it. Because
one of them is able to raise the alarm.
Yeah, the first guy they take off, they're like, all right, 5 seconds after we land, we're going to throw the stormtrooper over the windshield so they know we're here.
That's true.
He also gets the comm. One of them gets the comm off. Yeah, they say enemies alert or something.
Yeah,
they
scan eventually and they're like, hey, there's four life forms.
But yeah, the Mandalorian eventually break their way into the ship.
I like how when he went over the windshield too, one of them was like, pirates!
Yeah,
and I was like, dude.
That's why I was saying pirates earlier.
When I said Jack Sparrow at the port, I mean, every episode has been a movie. Like the first one was an old western.
Old western.
Second
samurai.
One was like straight out of Alien with like the eggs coming out.
Yeah,
in the end on an ice planet.
Do you think they're doing this on purpose?
And
like
this one was like straight up Pirates of the Caribbean.
They have to be doing this on purpose.
I just like the different themes.
Yeah, I was going to say, so maybe it's not like based on these movies, but they're just all different themes, which is really cool.
So we get the Mandalorians kind of start advancing through the ship. They enter into this hallway and they take out this platoon of stormtroopers that are all at the end of the hallway. And this is a really cool coordinated attack. They just like consistently advance closer and closer to the troopers by like going from pole to pole. It's they just have like a very coordinated attack.
I just started laughing because we were watching this and Emily said the funniest thing, and I was like, you're absolutely right. She was like, why do they keep building their ships like this so they can be invaded? Like, why do they just, why don't they just take those little like nook and crannies out of the hallway and you won't be able to get, you know, boarded so easily?
I think that would have been the answer to so many movies and episodes in
Star Wars. She was like, every Star Wars we watch,
Princess Leia
would, and I was like, you're right.
Princess Leia would have never escaped with Han Solo if
they could just like hide behind that.
And then they shoot into the trash chute.
Emily has very good input. She called out in episode one, just putting the grenades around the Bantha. That is so funny. And she's absolutely correct.
And she totally ruined it for me because later on in the episode, they do it again.
The same thing.
They're trying to get to the bridge.
Yep.
These scenes are kind of like mash cuts between the Mandalorians advancing through the ship and the captain and these two pilots that are in the bridge. So back in the bridge, we get one of the stormtroopers radioing in and he's like, there must be like 10 of them. And then the pilot says, well, life force scanning only says that there's four of them. So obviously. Like, the stormtroopers are completely overwhelmed, and the captain just tells the men to start climbing right now so that they can get into hyperspace.
Mm-hmm. That's just the basically the way to, for them to, I don't know what that would do for them, but would it like fuck up the Mandalorians in some way if they make that jump, or is it just, it gives them a chance to like teleport to somewhere that they can
that's
get back
what it
up.
Is okay. Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
So they're still in the harbor zone. The pilot's like, but we can't until we leave the harbor zone. He's like, screw that. Start climbing, bitch.
Yeah.
This is like one of the higher ups just flexing his muscle.
Yeah. His name was literally the captain.
Yeah.
And it really did do some damage to like the ships and stuff underneath and some of the docking, or it could have at least.
It did when create it took a wake because they.
But they get up there and the captain radios back to one of his other lieutenants, I guess, and says, just hold them off until we get out and we can make the jump. And the guy says it to all the other stormtroopers, like, all right, we just got to hold them until we can make the jump to hyperspace. And they're all staring at the elevator door, and yeah. Comes out immediately. Guy takes one shot. He's like, close the doors. Like, close the doors.
Yeah.
What doors? All of them. Close all the doors.
He fires one shot and immediately goes to hide behind like a crate. And they're protecting the cargo bay. So they're protecting the weapons that the Mandalorians are after. And the dude like proudly, he locks him in a room and he proudly like calls back the captain and says, we have him pinned down. Like, we have him locked. And he's like, really? Where did you lock him? In the cargo control room. And the dude's just like, are you kidding me, man?
I just wrote LOL idiots for this. Just like, they just didn't think that one through. But yeah, the Mandalorians open the cargo chute. They all fly out. So it's just the people in the brig now left on the ship, essentially. Yeah.
I mean, they're radioing in like, hey, can you hear me? Not getting anything for a little bit. And of course, Bo-Katan picks it up and is saying, hey, thanks for packaging all these nice shiny things up for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're gonna look real nice in the hands of a division of Mandalorian soldiers. Like, thanks, boss.
That's awesome.
Imagine what they're doing with just regular blasters. Imagine if you get all of those people with those guns. Oh,
stormtroopers are essentially fodder, but like an army of Mandalorians is a very, very dangerous
that's not
army.
Fodder. That's the opposite of fodder. Right there.
So the captain kind of retaliates at Bo-Katan and says, if you jettison any more of these weapons, like run or hide as you may, we'll comb the entire area and we'll go after you. We'll hunt you guys down. And she says, no, that's not going to happen because we're intending to take the entire ship. Like, this ship is ours now. Bo-Katan like gets off the horn with the ship captain and the pilots, and Mando reminds Bo-Katan, hey, this is not what I signed up for. And then we get a nice Bo-Katan quote. She says, there's something I need if I am to rule Mandalore, something that was once mine. They know where it is, and soon so shall I. If you want to find the Jedi, you will help me retake this ship. And Mando is kind of pissed that she's changing the terms of the arrangement that they made, and he calls her out for it. But then Bo-Katan says, this is the way, and uses it in the exact form that it should never be used, because she's being
not using this phrase right.
No, not at all. She's being sleazy.
She had, I noticed in this scene, a scar over her right eye. Do you know?
I didn't even notice that.
It was like a really faint, but is that anything of significance?
Like, not that I know of off the top of my head.
Like, she got it in the Purge or something.
Yeah. She probably did, honestly. That was a pretty gruesome battle place, so I'm sure she got it there.
Yeah.
I couldn't say those words for the life.
Yeah.
I struggled.
I was laughing at you.
It's definitely a battle place.
Could not get that one out.
But definite battle. This is when it goes back to the cockpit and Moff Gideon hops up on the hologram.
I get goosebumps whenever he's on the screen. He just steals every scene.
He kills it. Some actors are just like that. When you see him on screen, it just triggers something in you.
So good. He's saying, the captain, that is, that we need immediate backup. We have pirates that have boarded and they're coming on our way to the bridge. You know, and Moff Gideon says, you know, how far have they come? And when the captain says, you know, they're almost at the bridge, he says back to him, you know,
if they've taken that much of the ship, you know, this, it is an option for us to give you reinforcements. You know what to do. long live the Empire. And the two pilots, like 20, young 20 looking guys, are like completely look I would. Flush and are just like, uh-oh, like we're screwed.
That's the look I would have given.
And they are, yeah. The captain just blasts the two pilots and
goes kamikaze.
Yeah, and just puts the ship in a nosedive.
I'm a fucking kamikaze crashing into everything.
Yeah. after he's saying, like, long live the Empire. Like, mm-hmm. Jesus.
So then we get a flash to the Mandalorians, who, once the ship enters a nosedive, they get, like, shaken up. They realize what's going on, but they're pinned down in another hallway by one of the Mandalorians, says 6 to 10 troopers. Two of them seem to have heavy repeating blasters, so they're pinned down and they can't really advance.
Who else but Mando?
Like, nice. This kind of didn't make sense to me, because I was like, the stormtroopers, like, your captain is literally scuttling the ship right now. He's going to kill you and everybody else.
They,
like,
could be diehard long live the Empire.
Yeah,
they could
fan.
Just be like, they understand. Who knows? I personally wouldn't be part of that. I would be trying to get the fucking captain.
I would be getting the escape pod.
Yeah, or an escape pod, anything.
Instead of sitting there defending the door. But, I mean, whatever. Maybe they are long live the Empire clones.
But Mando does a self-sacrifice kind of move here. He whips out two of his little desk bombs, almost these little, like,
he
circular...
kills it. They're just like Semtex grenades.
Yeah, little Semtex
grenades or something.
He just books it down the hallway. Cover me. Yep. And he's just taking these blaster bullets. It.
He's a beast.
The Beskar's holding up, but you can tell that he's feeling it. He drops to the floor, and as he's dropping to the floor, chucks the Semtex, and they land perfectly at the feet of the stormtroopers, blow that part of the ship up, and make a clear path for the captain's hall.
And one little detail that I thought was cool, out of everybody there, Reeves and Mando just hop in the two driver's seat to save the day. Like, they were the ones that immediately jumped in there. Yeah. And we know it was really close, because before that, Reeves was saying, like, oh, like, we're at 10,000 feet or whatever. It was a close call, though. But but they do end up saving it.
They bust into the captain's deck. Basically, Bo-Katan grabs him and is questioning him, like, all right, where the fuck is the Darksaber? Where is, like, who has it? Where is it?
He says, where's the Darksaber? Does he have it?
Yeah. Mm. Referencing Moff, obviously. Yeah. I think we're getting pieces together that Moff is kind of currently in charge of Mandalore.
Yeah.
But the captain responds with, if you're asking me, then you already know. So that's confirmation. Now Bo-Katan knows that Moff Gideon has the Darksaber.
Mm-hmm. She says, like, he might have it now, but you're taking me right to him.
Mm-hmm.
Captain was like, nope. Bites on not a cyanide pill, an electric shock pill.
Yeah, look,
yeah, that was
crazy.
Kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, it was a little Star Wars twist to the death by suicide. But yeah, he bites something, static just runs through his body, and he drops.
And then we get Reeves say that we got to get out of here because, you know, the Imperial captain already sent a distress signal, and Bo-Katan tells Reeves to prepare to go into hyperspace. And, you know, she kind of has this moment with Mando, says, are you sure you don't want to join us? And Mando responds that he still has to take care of Baby Yoda and complete that. But Bo-Katan leaves it on good terms, says offer is going to be open-ended. So, you know, if you ever change your mind, come contact.
He's going to contact. I think he's going to join up. I mean, they saved his ass how many times that episode? Like, one, like, two times at least. And that's not even including what happened on the ship. So,
well, he saved them too.
Yeah, but
they saved each other.
It's like, once you go to battle with someone, you know, they become a friend in a sense. So I think Mando is definitely going to be calling on these Mandalorians for help in the future.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much guaranteed, I feel like.
He asked him, you know, where can I find the Jedi? Immediately, because he's not leaving without that info. And then you got the long quote, P. Toms.
I actually don't have the quote, but do you have the quote? Word. This is such a change of pace. I love it.
She said, take the foundling to the city of Kaladin on the forest planet of Corvus. There you will find Ahsoka Tano.
Let's go, man. Yeah. So many good references this episode. This was the cherry on top.
Tell her you were sent by Bo-Katan. Thank you for your bravery. It will not be forgotten.
Yeah, so spoilers for the newly released final season of the Clone Wars animated series, but one of the final episodes is, like, Ahsoka helping Bo-Katan, like, liberate the planet of Mandalore from Darth Maul. So they end on very, very good terms. This is almost a couple decades ago. I'm not sure if they've been in contact since, but if if Bo-Katan knows her whereabouts, then probably. But they leave each other on very good terms. I would assume that if Mando were to go and say Bo-Katan sent me, he would be met with a lot of friendliness,
arms, yeah.
Open arms, like, oh, Bo-Katan sent you, that's good. They've been through a lot together, but I think there's a respect there.
Such a good name drop. We know we're right around the corner from seeing some more greatness from this episode.
I'm pretty sure Rosario Dawson has not even yet been confirmed as like her actress.
Really?
Like, I don't think she has an IMDb credit for it yet. So like, I'm not even sure if she's can be confirmed being in this season or if it's going to be like later
I think
you never can tell if they're going to give us Ahsoka like next episode or if there's just going to be another four random episodes.
In my impression, I feel like we're due for another random episode. I think next episode.
I think one or two.
Yeah.
But so what I was spitballing is they did give us Boba Fett in episode one. The Razor Crest is currently in shambles. So I could see him flying it back to Mos Eisley to get Mato to like fix it up. And then we could get a run in with Boba Fett.
Okay.
Definitely makes sense.
That would be a good. I wouldn't be upset with that.
The crest definitely has to get fixed.
Oh, there's let's finish this out.
Yeah, we can definitely
describe the crest condition here.
So Mando just jetpacks off the ship like a boss, like the Freighter. Goes back to the frog people, picks up Baby Yoda, and Baby Yoda is looking at this cute little tadpole. He's crying.
Well, when he picks him up, Baby Yoda's crying because he wants to keep him as a pet.
Then
Mando responds. He's just like, I don't have enough.
I have enough pets as it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is so accurate because Baby Yoda
is just like a dad.
Yep. Baby Yoda's so a handful, man. There's no way he could have brought another pet on board. But that was a funny scene.
Yeah. He's like the babysitter, that movie, and he's the Rock.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yep. Perfect way. Perfect contrast right there.
So they get back to the dock.
Yeah.
And he's talking to the dock worker. And he says, I gave you 1,000 credits, and this is the best you could do.
You can even see it. It literally looks like they put a giant bandage on the thing and said, all right, it's
terrible.
Fixed.
Yeah. And he's like walking through the ship, and there's like nets and like fishing gear all over the place.
The chairs were replaced, weren't they? Were they the
I'm
same
not sure
chairs?
If there were nets over the chairs. It was very weird, but he's just looking around. And he's like, Mon Calamari.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's pissed. And there's this like kind of starfish looking thing, like, slithering over to Baby Yoda, and it's like dropping, it's about to like start biting him, and then Mando just turns around and grabs it
without even looking.
And then Baby Yoda eats it.
We don't see him eating it, but we see him like slurping up one of the tentacles.
Did he?
So he totally ate it.
And then
Mando says, I finally know where I'm taking you, but it's going to be a bumpy ride. And that's our episode.
Great.
Like I said earlier, probably my favorite episode, pound for pound, Allen Iverson, without a doubt, right here. This was so good.
I don't disagree. Yeah, this was an awesome one. And I think it was really cool seeing Bo-Katan. What it seems like they're setting this series up to be is one of the end game is a Mandalorian, you know, kind of a coup to try and take back the planet. And I think Mando is going to be a big part in that. And I think Bo-Katan is obviously going to be a huge part of it. She's like the obvious choice to be the next Mandalorian ruler. Like she said, when she was questioning the captain and talking to Mando about it, she has had the Darksaber before and she wants to be the leader again. So this is cool where this series is going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you were saying, I could see them getting to Corvus at like the end of this season, and all the episodes in between are just like individual adventures of meeting different characters.
And I would be fine with that. I could totally see like the last scene of the entire season of, excuse me, I could see the last scene of season two being
Ahsoka face reveal. Yeah.
You know, like them landing and then we just see her.
As long as we get a lot of like action in between then and good story along the ride, I'm all in for that. I wouldn't be upset with that. But if we get it, you know, next episode, two episodes, I'm also in for that.
100%.
So. But I was kind of theorizing in my head as we were talking through this episode, do we know, like, is Moff Gideon Mandalorian? Like, do you think he was like born on Mandalore? No,
I don't think so.
Because I was just like in my head, just like, this is just all obviously tinfoil hat here, but I'm just like, oh, like, what if he was somehow related to Bo-Katan and he was just like a jealous brother who wasn't gonna
I think we did talk about that at I think it was either episode one when we were talking about the Darksaber, but you're saying we don't know if Moff Gideon, I mean, if he was Mandalorian defected,
right,
or if he just took over Mandalore during the purge.
And I'm absolutely fine with all these question marks. I'm just in my head trying to piece something together as like, why does Moff Gideon? I mean, obviously the Darksaber has a lot of power, but I feel like there's got to be a more of a reason. But I guess we'll
so cool.
Yeah, we could find out. But we get like we have been talking about, we get the Ahsoka name drop. Like anytime we see Moff Gideon on screen, it's a great one. We get some conversation about the Darksaber. Like this episode had it all for
10 out of 10 episode for you?
Without a doubt, man. I can't not say it was 10 out of 10.
Paul, what do you got? Out of 10?
We're doing the ratings right.
Yeah.
Now. Okay,
yeah.
No. So if we're talking like legit, maybe a 10 out of 10.
I do 9 out of 10.
I'll give it a 9. Yeah. Maybe not perfect television, but it's good. Right up there.
I give it a 9 out of 10. Sure. Yeah. This was a good one. Yeah. I'm more excited. It was really cool seeing Bo-Katan. 9 out of 10. This was a solid episode.
Exactly.
Yeah. I had fun with this one. But yeah, unfortunately, I say unfortunately, but I've never not enjoyed the standalone episode. So getting a couple more of them.
Completely agree. Like I said, I'm fine if the story progresses a little bit slower, we get some standalone episodes and Ahsoka is the last reveal. I'm fine with that.
I would be really excited if next episode we go back to Tatooine, because I would like to see Boba Fett this season.
Oh, that would be so nice. Boba Fett was awesome.
All right. Take us out, homie.
Let's do it. Keep an eye out for our continued coverage of The Mandalorian all season long. We're going to be following it week to week. Next episode is going to be chapter 12. We should have that out for you soon. And as always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram and subscribe to our show on Spotify and the Apple Podcast app. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
Dank Ferrick.